Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory forever. One of the things that I thought about doing as the Bishop of the Diocese is a series of videos in which I could offer some teaching or some exhortation to our parishes and our parishioners across the miles of the diocese. I'd like to begin this today by speaking about the Theotokos, the Mother of God. In this sacred season that we celebrate, her role is so pivotal, so important. And many times, non-Orthodox ask us, from a biblical perspective, about how we venerate her, how we honor her, and the devotion that we pay to her. And oftentimes, we're unable to explain that to them in a biblical way. So in a sermon that I call Seven Questions, Seven Answers, I'd like to offer teaching about that in her honor. First question. Why is it that you worship Mary? Answer. We don't worship Mary. We worship only God. We venerate Mary. We venerate the saints. We venerate her as the Theotokos, the Mother of God. But worship belongs only to the Holy Trinity. The Scripture says in Luke 1:48, all generations will call me blessed. It's not because of her personally. It's because of her dedication, her obedience, her faith, her love for God, in which she brought into the world, cared for, and followed our Savior Jesus Christ. Second question, why do you call her Theotokos, the Mother of God, when God has existed from all eternity? How could he have a mother? God did exist from all eternity. But he became flesh in time. He became incarnate. And he became incarnate of a woman, the Theotokos, the one who bore him, the one who bore God. She is the Mother of God, and not to call her that would be to deny that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is God. So we honor her as the Mother of the Lord God, as Elizabeth says in Luke 1:43, the Mother of my Lord. The third question, why is it that you call her the Mother of God when Jesus himself calls her woman? It's true. It's true that in John 2:4 and in John 19:26 and again in Revelation, she's referred to as the woman. It's not a sign of disrespect. It's a sign of fulfilling the Scripture. If you recall in Genesis 3:15, God, in the first piece of good news, said to the serpent, I will place enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and he shall crush your head. The world waited for that seed, for that Messiah to come, and for the woman who would bring him into this world. And our Lord was introducing her as that woman. How can you say, question four, how can you say she's ever virgin, when the Scripture clearly says that Joseph knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son? Doesn't that imply that Jesus had brothers and sisters? The word till in Greek means up to the time that. Just like in Matthew 19:20, Jesus says, I will be with you even to the very end of the world, even up to the time of the end of the world. He'll also be with us after the end of the world. The Theotokos was not known by Joseph even after she brought forth. But up to that time, that's all Matthew is trying to talk about. And being firstborn doesn't necessarily mean there has to be a second son. It means that Jesus had all the rights and privileges of the firstborn in Exodus chapter 13. Our next question. But Jesus does have brothers and sisters, according to Mark 6:3, and their names, James and Joseph and Judas and Simon. These brethren are relatives of Jesus in a general sense. The word is used of Lot. He's called the brother of Abraham, and he really was his nephew. These brethren, St. Ambrose of Milan says in his commentary, were the children of Joseph, the betrothed. When he was married, before his wife died, before he ever met the Theotokos. Other commentaries might say that they are the cousins of Jesus. But regardless which it is, they're not biological brothers. If they were biological brothers, there would be no reason in John 19:26 for Jesus to give the care of his mother to John, the beloved disciple, if she had other children, biological children, to take care of her. Sixth question. Why do we appeal to Mary for intercession when the Scripture says the only intercessor is Jesus Christ? Again, the Scripture is correct. The only intercessor before God is Jesus Christ. But the Theotokos and the saints intercede for us before the throne of Christ. Just as she interceded at the marriage in Cana of Galilee, where he did his first miracle at her request. In John chapter 2, they came to her to ask him to turn the water into wine. And lastly, how can you say, Most Holy Theotokos, save us, when only Jesus saves? Again, the Scripture is very clear. Because of his death on the cross, Christ is the Savior. But in a more primal sense, not that anyone else died for our sins and for our salvation, but in a basic primal sense, like saving a drowning man, the Theotokos saves us by her prayers, by her intercession, sometimes by her intervention from danger, whether physical or spiritual or emotional. It's just like in Genesis 45:5, when Joseph says to his brothers, God sent me here in Egypt to save life. He saved, in a very primal sense of the word. And so, this text will be made available to you in hard copy, and I hope that it will be helpful in you being able to answer questions about the way the Orthodox Church views and honors and venerates the Theotokos, the Mother of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory forever.